Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, our Emmanuel. Amen. Of all the characters in the Nativity, there is one who doesn't quite stand out like the rest or garner the same attention during this season as others do. That character is Joseph, the husband of Mary and the surrogate father of Jesus. Joseph, writes James Howell, a United Methodist pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, Joseph stands in the background of Christmas pageants, looking on, not doing much besides gazing or hanging on to the donkey, his face solemn, looking a little bit sheepish, even foolish, while attention is focused on the real stars of the drama, Jesus and Mary. This observation also applies to many Christmas cards and films about the Holy Family. Joseph is this enigmatic figure who stands just enough out of the spotlight for us to nearly forget his role in the story. We don't even sing about him during this season of Advent and Christmas. Within the vast and deep treasury of Christmas music, there's not one familiar hymn or popular Christmas carol written about Joseph, except for two alternative rock songs, which are only known by pop culture neophiles like me. The scriptures don't say a lot about him either. John's gospel never mentions Joseph. Mark's gospel refers to him only as the carpenter dad of Jesus. And Matthew and Luke's gospels briefly include him in the events of Jesus' birth and early childhood, a handful of verses that are void of any of Joseph's thoughts, feelings, or words. By the third chapter of Matthew and Mark, he disappears entirely, and the reader is never told why. However, what little there is in Matthew's gospel about Joseph tells us much about the person God chooses to be a protector of love. The gospel writer emphasizes that Joseph is a righteous man, which means he is familiar with brutal laws like Deuteronomy 22, 20 through 27, that says, if a man discovers that the woman he has just married or betrothed is not a virgin, the men of her town shall stone her to death. As such, Joseph is motivated by compassion to keep Mary's miraculous pregnancy secret so that she is not publicly mocked and then killed in an act of mob justice for perceived infidelity. Some preachers and scholars suspect that Joseph treats Deuteronomy 22 with less importance than passages like Micah 6:8. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. As one commentary puts it, against the shadows of hateful violence dressed up as law, Joseph acts with merciful love. The angel, though, tells Joseph that while his intentions to quietly dismiss Mary are noble, he doesn't need to fear or worry for her safety. All is going according to God's plan. Mary's pregnancy is fulfilling the words God spoke to the prophet Isaiah. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Joseph is to show courage in his commitment to the baby and Mary, no matter how much their neighbors whisper and roll their eyes about how the young woman is pregnant out of wedlock. And Joseph is to not let the knowledge that the child is from the Holy Spirit make him afraid to get married to Mary and take care of the child. Furthermore, Joseph is to name the child Jesus, which means God saves. Joseph is also assured by the angel that he has an important role to play by welcoming this baby into his lineage, naming and raising him, and being a supportive husband in spite of Deuteronomic law and people's judgments. Joseph is given this enormous responsibility of helping to care for and love a child who is not his own and who just so happens to be the God who saves is with us, the source and embodiment of love itself. Understandably, upon waking from his dream, Joseph is probably still a bit worried and frightened by the angel's instructions. He's no longer concerned about Mary's fate, but he is likely feeling anxious about being the stepfather of God's child, of God becoming human from birth. He's likely pondering that Isaiah scripture and thinking, doesn't that vision feature a woman and child and not a married couple? What in the world could I, an ordinary man, offer to someone who is fully human and fully divine? Quite possibly, Joseph is also bewildered that God would come so near and in the most vulnerable form imaginable. Wouldn't any of us feel anxious and bewildered if we were in Joseph's shoes? More than a decade ago, while pregnant with our daughter Katie, Elizabeth received a stack of children's books as a gift from a friend. Among them was one entitled Father and Son, A Nativity Story by Geraldine McCochran and Fabian Negrin. Last week, I shared the book with our six-year-old son, Davis, who has been really exuberant lately about Christmas and Jesus' birth story. He was particularly mesmerized by Father and Son because of the unique way in which it tells the story of the Holy Family's first night in the stable in Bethlehem, imagining what Joseph might have thought and felt about becoming the stepfather to Jesus. As I read this story to Davis, I felt a deeper appreciation for Joseph and his role as a protector of love. And I also gained wonderful insight about one of the parts we are all to play every Christmas as we approach the manger. So with open minds and hearts, I invite you to contemplate the significance of Joseph for each of us today as I read again Father and Son, A Nativity Story. After the star had set, after the angels had roosted, after the shepherds had hurried back to their sheep, there was one person still awake in the dark stable. Joseph sat watching the baby asleep in a manger of straw. "Mine, but not mine," he whispered. "How am I supposed to stand in for your real father? How is a simple man like me to bring up the Son of God?" "Not a good start. I cannot even find him a proper place to be born, a proper bed to sleep in. He who has cradled us all in his hand since the start of time. What lullabies should I sing to someone who taught the angels to dance and peppered the sky with songbirds? How can I teach him his words and letters, he who strung the alphabet together, he who whispered dreams into a million, million ears, 1,000 different languages? The very thought of it leaves me speechless. How can I teach him the scriptures? It will be like reading him a book he wrote himself. What story can I tell him? He wrote the whole history of the world. What jokes? He knows them all. Didn't he invent the hilarious and make the rivers gurgle with laughter? Didn't he form the first face, wink, and make it smile? Someone tell me, how do I protect a child whose arm brandished the first bolt of lightning, who lobbed the first thunderclap, who wears sunlight for armor and a helmet of stars? And yet, somehow my heart quakes for you, child, small as you are. How shall I teach you right and wrong, when it was you who drew up the rules, you who parted good from bad? How? When I get angry and lose my temper, who will be to blame? Always me, I suppose. He says this as Jesus' dog has torn up the house. How do I feed and clothe someone who seeded the ocean with fish and hung up the trees, who shod the camels and crowned the deer? It's bread and fishes from now on, son, and clothes no better than mine. What game shall we play, boy, you and I? I mean, how can I rough and tumble with someone who pinned the ocean in place with a single tack-headed moon? And how shall I ever astound you, child, as my father did me? You are the one who fitted the chicken into the egg and the oak tree into an acorn. How can I put a roof over your head, knowing it was you who glass-roofed the world and thatched the sky with clouds and stitched the snow with threads of melting silver? I am a carpenter, child. By rights, you should learn my trade. But how can I teach you to plane a door, knowing it was you who planed the plains, who hewed the valley and hewed the hills, wind in your one hand and rain in the other? How? What presents can I offer you who has already given me everything, this wife, this night, this happiness, this son? What shall I pass down to you, little one, apart from a world of love? Not as much as the color of my eyes, not even my name, and yet I've been thinking, child. My hands are strong, God knows, and everyone needs an extra pair of hands from time to time. That's what I'll give you, son. That's what I'll be, God willing, a helping hand. So long after the star had set, after the angels had roosted, after the shepherds hurried back to their sheep, there was one person still awake in the dark stable, watching over a sleeping child, while his God watched over him. My friends, do not be afraid. Joseph and Mary will have a son, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And Joseph will name him Jesus, God saves us. Do not be anxious. Love in the flesh is coming down to dwell among us, and we are called to lend a hand to love and courageously carry it through broken and hurting places to help others. The world one day may be transformed and healed, just as Joseph did. Amen.